guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day!
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Michael Wilbon is brought to you by HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves things!
A great honor for Michael Wilbon. Waddle and I both had the same thought, too, is Wilbon, Dan Patrick, and Tom Verducci are going into the National Sports Media Association Hall of Fame.
I would have said all three of them are already in.
Yeah.
And you alerted me that they're not.
Yes. And it's a great honor for our friend Michael Wilbon. Congratulations, Michael.
Way to go, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you both. It's an honor. And you know, all these, I keep, these things are... whenever you get them, they're a surprise to me. And so, no, there was no need to think I was already in. Cornette was already in. I'm just getting in. Grateful to get in whenever. I don't know Tom as well. You know, I know his work. Dan Patrick and I have known each other forever. My first basketball show that I ever did as a member of the ESPN ABC family was with Dan Patrick and Scottie Pippen. That was my that wow. They handheld me through my first basketball show at the network. And so I'm grateful to both of them and happy to going in to the Hall of Fame with Dan Patrick.
Dan Patrick is one of my all-time favorites, regardless of, you know, where he's been and what he's done. He's been fantastic throughout the years, just like you, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. And I really didn't know. I didn't even know there was a yearly, like, I couldn't tell you how often these people were nominated or went in. I couldn't tell you much about it, although I know all the people who were in that Hall of Fame, where I know the work, the reputations of just about all of them, and some of them very well, sat shoulder to shoulder in press boxes across America with some of these people for decades. So it's a very, very cool honor.
Michael, we usually see, like, the phone calls that come in to Hall of Famers. Like, we heard it today with Jimbo Covert, and you saw it with the two coaches, Bill Cowher and Jimmy Johnson, over the weekend. I don't know if you saw it. Waddle and I saw it during the break. Drew Pearson was filmed when they were making the announcement today on Good Morning Football, and he had, like, a whole watch party set up with him. Yeah, and he wasn't elected in, and it was, if you have not seen it, Meller, maybe you could pull the audio.
I don't want to see it.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to watch.
It's very, very awkward, and I feel really bad for him.
I think those things are, unless you've been told, unless it's a certainty, just stay away from it. I know people expect to get in, hope to, it's their whole life's goal, in a way, in competitive sports, athletic sports, the way it isn't in the rest of other industries like this one, and when you're talking about in regard to my situation, I didn't know Drew Pearson had that set up. I'm glad that Cover got in. I know this is a bit of a diversion to get into it this way, but I thought this was an enormous week for the Chicago Bears. This is about as good a week as the Bears have had since 2006.
Why?
I mean, look at what they've had. So on the night of the college championship, it is announced that three of the top 11 players in the 150-year history of college football are Red Grange, Gale Sayers, and Dick Butkus. Are you kidding me? Three out of the top 11? And then when I looked at the list, the 150-person list later that night, I realized that Walter Payton's like 16. I'm missing somebody. Who else was in there? Bronco Nagurski, maybe? So five of the top 16 players have some history with the Chicago Bears, and three of the top 11, and then you get Covert and Ed Sprinkle in tonight?
Yeah.
Today?
Yep.
I mean, I know people listen to the show don't know Sprinkle. Well, they ought to go look him up. Go Google. You got all this technology at your fingertips. You know, be like baseball. You know, use technology. And go and find out who Ed Sprinkle. Sprinkle was thought to be the meanest, most dangerous, frightening man to that point in NFL history. And you get him in Covert, and I'm glad Covert's in, because there needed to be someone from that offensive line. Is he the only one from the offensive line, Covert?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hilgenberg's not in.
No, he's not.
Van Horn.
Van Horn not in.
No.
All right, so Horns. Look, as great as Walter was, They'll tell me that no lineman from Walter's entire career didn't belong in the Hall of Fame, and that's insane. And so I'm glad to Covertin. It should have been more than that. And so that's another member of the 85 Bears. And Sprinkle, who won at least one championship, maybe 46 or something, I don't know. When did the Bears had a greater week than this since 2006?
Michael, I saw a lot of the comments, though, below when they tweeted out that, hey, we now have the most Hall of Famers in the history of the league with 30.
I thought they already had the most.
Well, now it's 30 with the two additions. That's what they tweeted out today. But a lot of comment, and you know how commenters go on Twitter, but I think it's an interesting question. With all these Hall of Famers, how in the modern era have they only won one Super Bowl?
Well, most of their Hall of Famers are not in the modern era.
Right.
Most of their Hall of Famers were in the era when they won 8 championships. So the Twitter people are morons, most of them anyway, and they don't have any idea when the Bears – they don't have any idea what happened before this morning's Get Up show on Twitter. They're idiots. So
I don't know who you're slamming worse there.
What? Would you guys want to debate some of that? I mean, you don't. They don't know. They don't know anything about who, you know, they look at it and they say, well, it wasn't called the Super Bowl. So they don't have any idea what the hell is going on. So most of the Hall of Famers are before the modern era.
By the way, Mike, I said this is like not really related other than the fact that the picture I saw again and I've seen it a bunch. And I'm going to actually have this picture blown up and I'm going to have it framed in my house. The picture of Lenny Dawson at halftime with a Fresca sitting between his legs, smoking a heater at the half. Like just that picture. Oh, have you not seen the picture?
I haven't seen that picture.
Oh, it's the most. It just captures the essence of football. When was the first Super Bowl? In 67?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think it was halftime of the first Super Bowl. He's sitting on a folding chair in the locker room at halftime. He has a bottle of Fresca sitting between his legs, and he's smoking a cigarette.
That's called making adjustments.
That's right.
There.
That's right. Halftime adjustments.
That's
awesome.
I'd love that. And that picture's worth a lot. I mean, people,
awesome.
Listen, remember the Max McGee Super Bowl where he talked about being hungover.
Right.
Playing.
He didn't realize he was going to play, right? He only played because
someone was hurt. You think LeBron was going to put him in?
Yeah.
What did he was older then. He was like 35. I mean, people have no idea what happened in anything before yesterday. And so, but the Bears ought to be stroking this. The Bears ought to be proud of this. They got 5 of the top 16 college players, a third of the greatest names in college football ever have been played for that franchise at some point.
But I also texted you while you were raving about all these like big things that also yesterday, you know, the Bears are hiring an offensive coordinator who's not really the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And Nagy refuses to give up play calling. And they have elected now to move away from Bourbonnais and bring training camp away from the fans.
Where are they moving?
Well, they're going to move it to their facility up in Lake Forest. But
well, most teams have done that. Now.
Well, not just that, but they put $100 million into renovation, and it's glorious. And truly for the team, for the team itself, for all of the purposes that are necessities for them, it's the right place to be. It's unfortunate for the fans that they won't have as much access, but for the team and making them the best they can be for a number of reasons, I think this was inevitable and it's the right decision.
It's inevitable because every other NFL franchise is doing it. You know, copycat all these NFL. There's no original thinking that goes on beyond whoever does it first. But, if anything, Sylvie, my answer to you, if we had kept texting that along those lines, that would have been, give me something historic to distract from what's going on now.
Right.
So let me talk about Covert. Let me talk about Ed Sprinkle. Let me talk about Sayers and Butkus. And why did anybody know why Dick? There was no representative of Dick Butkus there.
Yeah, I don't know. I was wondering that as well. I was wondering that.
I didn't know. And I do. He has welcomed me to call him anytime I want. But like the little kid that I was when Dick played, I'm scared to text him.
Right. You used to butt dial him back when we had the flip phones.
I did, and he loved it. He thought it was funny, and Matthew was on the phone. He's like, what are you kidding? Your kids butt dialing me? I'm like, Matthew, you butt dialed Dick Butkus. I'll throw you out of the family. What are you doing? We're afraid of Dick Butkus. I'm still afraid of him. I'm, you know, 16 years old.
Were you surprised? I was surprised. Now, and part of me was glad that they went old school with it. Were you surprised that there was no one like Tim Tebow as part of that top 10?
No, not top 10. I ain't putting Tim Tebow part of my top 10.
He was a two-time national champ.
Yeah. He did. He had, and so, you know, and so did Cam Newton. I read through all 150, and there were a lot more modern-day players, and I'm talking about even in the last 20 years, so this century, on the team, but they were lower. They were like between 88 and 150. And, I don't think those players – first of all, I don't think any of those. I don't think Tim Tebow was as good as Roger Staubach. What Roger Staubach did at the Naval Academy, playing against the schedule he had to play. I mean, it there was more. I mean, first of all, some of those guys only got to play 3 years, right? Some of them had considerations for going to war. No, I don't mean war wins over replacement.
Yeah,
over
real war.
Yeah, right.
I mean actual war, World War II, Korea. World War I, in the case of Thorpe. So, no, I don't think, and Roger Staubach, no, I don't think they were greater. I don't think their lives were as hard. I don't think they had to face what those men had to face in college and beyond. I don't think that they were better than Doug Williams, playing at Grambling, given what Doug Williams had to go through and what he wasn't even allowed to go through, even though he wanted to. No, I'm not voting Tim Tebow over those guys. And I have nothing against Tim Tebow. I really like Tim Tebow. I thought Tim Tebow should still be playing professional football. Nonetheless, no, I'm taking the guys that were taken in that top. And I read all of them, 1 through 150, Jim yeah. Brown through whoever was 150. And I'm not replacing any of those 11 guys. I've said this to you guys during this segment, that not even the people in Chicago, and this is unforgivable if you don't know, because you can know. If you don't know what Red Grange did, stop doing what you're doing. Put down your stupid cell phone and your stupid Instagram and following the Kardashians or whoever you're following, and go read about Red Grange. See what he did. The guy barnstormed. He played like 9 football games in 28 days. Could have been dead. He like ruined one knee and would still go out and do what he would do in front of these enormous crowds when pro football needed promoting and it needed to be sold and it needed to be built. And he was a bear. Go read about him.
You saw his first game, didn't you, Mike, in person?
Yeah, I was there.
Did you file before
in the
deadline?
North end zone. It gets me angry when people don't care about it. They don't care about history. They don't care about any history. And this starts in my house. I shouted at my son to sit down and watch the show where I was taking his cell phone for a month. You know, Dad, I already knew about, Mr. Sayers and Mr. Butkus. I'm like, sit down, learn again. I'll take your phone.
By the way, I just sent you, Mike. I just texted you the picture of Lenny Dawson smoking a cigarette at halftime in the Super Bowl. You're going to love it.
Tweet it out for everybody else so they could see it.
I will. Yeah. That kind of stuff is great. I mean, when people didn't, life wasn't all about OTAs.
You know, there was something, too, and I know it's not Len Dawson, it's not Super Bowl I, but I thought it was super cool seeing Joe Burrow just chilling out, smoking that cigar.
Yeah.
I mean, that kid
That's
deserves...
That's what I harkened back that time, and it's going to be interesting what happens to him. What happens to him in Cincinnati. I mean, people forget college football. It ain't pro football, people.
Yeah.
It ain't. I mean, there's plenty of guys who come out on fire. I mean, there were people thought were can't miss. Remember how people thought Brian Bosworth was can't miss? He was can't miss until like week 4 when the Seattle coaches were going, oh, my God, what are we going to do with him? I mean, there are people who have come out of college that folks thought were going to set the world afire. And it looks like Joe Burrow, there's every reason to believe Joe Burrow is one of them. I believe it. But
he looks good. He does.
It ain't automatic.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Tommy, you know this. You know there were guys who came into camp that were all world and were being fitted for their ring finger size. And by the end of camp, you guys would look at each other and say, what is this kid doing?
Well, Lonzo Spellman was camp miss, wasn't he?
It's funny, though, because like when I look at players now with the benefit of age, I look at what I would define as instincts for the position. And if you don't have the instincts for the position, it's easier for you to come to the conclusion that he's not going to work. When you watch Joe Burrow play and you see his mechanics and his footwork and all the, some of the stuff he does, you come away feeling pretty confident that he's got good quarterback instincts. So,
you do, but didn't but there's no guarantee. About Ryan Leaf? Do you want to say Ryan Leaf had all the stuff, had the arm, had this, had that? He was supposed to have everything, and it turns out he had nothing.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's an inexact science, to say the least. Especially, you know what's interesting as well is when you find yourself at, listen, it's my hometown, but like my brother and I were texting each other throughout the course of that championship game, and my brother said, I can't wait. I'm excited about Joe Burrow, but I'm scared to death the Bengals are going to ruin him. That was exactly the feeling of my brother who lives in Cincinnati. Yeah. And the funny thing is if you look at Tua, maybe the best thing that could happen to him is he lasts later in the first round and finds himself with a better organization.
So what is the feeling from someone who is from there and knows that sort of conflicted feeling about, oh, my God, look who we've gotten, and, oh, my God, what's going to happen? Well, how do you feel, having been on the inside of this, Tom, about Burrow coming to Cincinnati with that coaching staff and those expectations and no recent history since Boomer's early years of success?
I think the elation that you have the opportunity to have him on your team supersedes the concern that they may not be able to develop him correctly. So there will be, for me, some apprehension. But by the same token, if I was there consistently, and I think that's the overwhelming feeling of Bengals fans, is they're elated that they've got an opportunity to at the very least see him and hopefully potentially have him be the guy that leads them for the next decade.
It's going to be, you know, I mean, I got no horse in the race, and I know I feel just weird. And it's like, you know, do they have what it takes to coach this guy? Coaching is so important. I always get on Levitar because he tries to sell me on coaching's not as important, it's overrated. It's like, please, it's underrated. Because just because people always say, well, if they had drafted him, if they, you know, if so-and-so had drafted him, no.
Mm-mm. Very important.
Yeah.
It's going to work that way. Who's coaching him? Who's he practicing against and with every day? All these things go into the shaping of any great athlete in any sport.
We talk about it all the time here with Mahomes and stuff like that. Yep. I want to ask you, so this is a tough poll question that Yurko came up with, and we polled it, the Toyota Twitter poll. I want to see how you vote. You have to pick one. Don't tell me you put both in, because we all would put them both in. But because we're in the Hall of Fame conversation,
all right,
here's the question. If you could only vote for one, which former Bears player is more deserving to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? And it's just two choices. It's Devin Hester against Charles Peanut Tillman.
Devin Hester.
That's what I said.
Devin Hester, because, and obviously, let me preface by saying they both belong, and I think they'll both get in. Devin Hester is the greatest ever at what he did. I can't make the case that Peanut Tillman is the single greatest player at his position, or at doing the job that he did. Even though Peanut, I mean, he made the position evolve into something. I mean, he certainly should go in, to me, period. And it shouldn't take a long time.
I said, Mike, if I was starting a team and you made me choose between the two, I'd take Peanut because it's a more important decision.
It's a more important position. It's harder to play.
But Devin was, as you said, the greatest to ever return the ball.
The greatest tournament ever. And if you want to argue, okay, Deion, but Deion didn't do the kick and punt for as long, and his returns came as a corner, that's fine. You want to argue him and Deion? You're still arguing two people. And then you cover Devin with even greater glory by comparing him to Deion. If you're saying it's him and Deion,
statistically, Deion had half the number of punt and kickoff return touchdowns.
I made
Devin
Matthew
did.
Look that up. We were talking. We were not arguing. He asked me who was a better return man, and I told him I thought that Devin had. I said I thought that Devin had a lot more returns. I didn't know it was twice as many until we looked it up. But I'm going to go Devin just because of the unique nature of the position and what he did.
Everything that you've covered, Michael, you've seen a lot of scandal. Where is this baseball cheating scandal rank in everything you've seen?
About the top 183rd.
So it's not that big for you.
I don't care. Not only do I not care, I don't think it's that big. If baseball's not telling people not to cheat, it's not even punishing people for cheating. It's saying don't cheat electronically. Don't let the cheating evolve to this. We're not going to aid your ability to cheat. We're okay with you cheating. And so no sport has embraced cheating like baseball. From the spitball to the sign stealing electronically.
Right.
No sport has embraced cheating.
Can you differentiate between like the kind of natural cheating versus the technologically enhanced cheating?
I don't want to, and I don't care to, and I don't see the point. I know others do, and for some reason this has become, you know, some red alert topic issue. Why? Nobody's explained to me why. Well, we're going to draw the line here. Well, you're drawing the line after 140 years with a camera? Really?
Well, they didn't have cameras 140 years ago, or at least ones that could do
this. Them now.
Yeah.
The only reason why they weren't using cameras 140 years ago is because they didn't have them. They didn't use. They used whatever they had then. And so I think if you're not trying to steal signs, you're not really trying. You're not really competing. And I don't get it. I don't get the shame over this that baseball's exhibiting now. I don't understand it.
All right, who's in your Super Bowl?
I guess Kansas City, and I want to surprise some people by saying Green Bay. I got the Packers because I got Aaron Rodgers, because I don't believe at all that Aaron Rodgers is going down a second time like that in his home region getting his butt kicked. He got his butt kicked the first time, and that is going to serve him this time. And you tell me I'm going to take Garoppolo over Aaron Rodgers in a game right now at 36 years old or whatever Aaron is?
Bet him.
Nope.
Let's have a bet because I think you're right. The first meeting in Week 12 was a butt kicking. They kicked him in his right cheek. They're going to kick him in his left cheek this time.
Wow.
Yeah, well, because it's a bad matchup. This is not the former Bear and me hating on the Packers.
No,
it's
I know
a
that.
Really bad matchup. I don't think it's Garoppolo. I think it's this defense, which is healthier now with Ford healthy.
The defense get pushed around a little bit. I mean, in New Orleans, and I mean, I'm not so sold on the defense. I mean,
let's have
Minnesota.
Let's have a little wager, okay? Candy, right. Taffy apples, and Diet Coke,
taffy
or whatever.
Apples. There we go. I mean, that's the way to go. I'm just going to tell you this: human nature. In these matchups, particularly for a team that's young like the Giants, like the 49ers, it is to think they're going to go out there and do the same thing to Aaron Rodgers they did last time. And my money's on 12.
Okay, I bet you Don would be absolutely disgusted with
He's
you.
He's yelling in his radio right now.
Betting on the Packers as
you know
opposed
what?
To
he
against
would be
the
disgusted,
Packers.
Disgusted, and he would be asking me to take an extra 20 for him.
What about AD as a Packer fan? Have you reached out to Anthony Davis and asked him what's wrong with him?
You know what? I've run into a few of these where somebody's parent was from Racine. I do have to find Anthony Davis. This is highly disappointing. this Packerness. But here I am saying I'll take Aaron Rodgers is my favorite quarterback in the league. He just is. He's been that for years, and I don't think there's any way he's losing this game.
Wow.
Wow, I feel
San Francisco's
really
good.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not really even. It's not about. I just think it's a bad matchup. I think that they're going.
But there are matchups. There's certainly, God knows, Tommy. There are matchups. Look, I thought Baltimore was going into a bad matchup. I didn't have the stones to call the upset, but I did say the first day on PTI that we talked about these games from last week, and I said, listen, this is a bad matchup for the Ravens.
Yeah.
Because the Titans will hit you in the mouth too, and they don't care if you hit them. They'll see their own blood. They'll start laughing.
Yeah.
That's the kind of team the Titans are.
That's a good point.
There are some bad matchups for teams, and the Ravens have one, and you're saying that the Packers have one. I think that it's a bad matchup for the 49ers defense to have Aaron Rodgers the second time this year.
I think that the 49ers – were cheering for the Packers to hold on to that game against Seattle because
they see what Russell Wilson can do to them. They know that.
That's right. Russell Wilson can get away from that front seven.
Yeah.
I don't believe Aaron Rodgers can. So that's where
man.
I'm at. But I've been wrong all year. I've picked every game wrong.
He loses every bet, so you may have a chance.
So you may be getting an entire box of taffy apples and whatever it is.
Listen, this is like I'm in fourth grade. Taffy apples, baby.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael, congratulations again. Thanks for everything you do for us. We appreciate the friendship.
Thanks, Mike.
Kind of you guys. We'll look forward to these games this weekend, and I'll Let's see, what is next week? I'm trying to think if, there's any, if I have any legitimate excuse to come home next week, and the answer is no.
Let me add this, and I know we're up against the clock, but we just got a commitment from Charles to join us at Chicago Cuts.
I know. If I can that week, in 2 weeks, no, it's more than that. It's like 4 weeks.
Right.
But if I can do it that week of All-Star Week, I will.
Okay.
There's so many things going on that week, some of them which require me to be on air, that I have no idea what's going on. But we'll talk about it long before we get to that.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome.
Well, hopefully we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Mike.
The Michael Wilbon. Great stuff. We have the Drew Pearson audio. You always hear about the Hall of Famer getting the call, and it's a joyous call. What happens when the guy thinks he's going to go into the Hall of Fame, but he doesn't get that call? The odd audio coming up next.
By the way, join Northwestern basketball at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Opponents include Maryland, Ohio State, Purdue, and Michigan. Single game tickets on sale now at NUSports.com.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
David Baker from the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Hey, David. How are you this morning?
I'm doing real good. By any chance, are you watching TV this morning?
I am, yes.
Well, I wanted to let you know that your name's about to be called.
And I want to thank you for all you've done for the game. And I want to thank you for all you're going to do for this game. And I wanted to welcome you to Canton, Ohio, where we promise to guard your legacy forever.
Thank you. What a call this morning. I'm actually in Los Angeles. It's actually in San Francisco. It's 4:40 in the morning, so I've been up this morning. So.
That's good, brother.
Thank you.
Jimbo Cover today, and we talked to him earlier in the show. Don't forget, you can catch all the podcasts at ESPNChicagoPodcasts.com. Jimbo and Waddle were just out to dinner for the Bears 100, and now the Bears are up to 30 Hall of Famers. We were just talking about it with Michael Wilbon, but not all those calls come.
No.
And we were researching Drew Pearson a little bit more. Great receiver, and
he was a member of the 70s All Decade team
for the Cowboys, right?
For the Cowboys, yeah.
And he had a watch party set up. A few people sent this to me, and I guess this was being unveiled on Good Morning Football. And this is a couple minutes long, and wait till the end too, especially. But it gets awkward, and I'm surprised that this was. Who, first of all, do we know Meller? Who was filming this?
I think it was the CBS affiliate in Dallas. So I believe that, from what I could tell.
And so was he like that sure he was going in?
Well, you can hear it. He believes that he was going to get in.
Okay. So this is Drew Pearson today. And we've always wondered, hey, we always hear the joyful calls. What happens when that phone call doesn't come?
If you are a proud veteran of your military family, please stand.
Oh, my God.
Equally deserve his talents, but it doesn't mean he's a good opportunity. And counts are not always the same. I will tell you this, something next to universal.
They won't get me again. They won't get me again. They won't get me like this again. This is the last one. It's the last time. They're not going to screw me again.
We all know about it. With just a single click, you might find everyone in your company and apply the next one to your company. Money has raised over $1 billion. Start sending in all your exercises. Over 24,000. Download Money for free in just 2 minutes at joinmoney.com.
Oh, man. I just want to thank everybody for coming anyway and being here. We thought we were going to have a good moment. We deserve that moment. Can't do nothing about it. Can't catch no more damn passes. Can't run no more routes. It's there. What upsets me more is when they say you don't deserve it, they talk negative about you. There's nothing negative about my career in the NFL. Nothing. How could you say negative things about it? That's what upsets me more. You put your hands in the fate, your fate in the hands of people, and you trust them to do it right. And I'm not saying those guys that got it
God bless them. They deserve it, each and every one of them. But man, it hurts. They broke my heart. They broke my heart. And they did it like this. They strung it out like this. I'm sorry. Sorry.
That is, it is gut-wrenching. Yes. It is,
by the way, do you realize the NFL 1970s all-decade team, he's the only member of the first team on offense or defense that is not in the Hall of Fame.
Just like Jimbo Covert up until today was the only member of the all-80s decade team to not be on it. But for those, you're listening in your car and you can't see, what's even more awkward is he has a room full of people wearing all of his gear. He's not just sitting on the couch alone. Like, they have this big watch party there, and they're all sitting there awkwardly while he's getting very emotional, and you could hear it goes from sadness and disappointment to anger and back. And that's a tough listen.
Yeah, it is.
Unbelievable. So today was a special day for many, but for Drew Pearson,
I'm sure he's not the only one that felt that way. Maybe he's the only one that was caught on camera because he was having that event. But
312-332-3776. We have not talked a lot of Bulls, and I know there are some people, I don't know how many because this is going to be the test, are in their car right now driving to the Bulls game. But this is the biggest indicator. Here's a good example, Waddle. Tonight's a Wednesday night game in the middle of winter against a really bad team.
So we're going to see their drawing power.
Right. And this is where there are people who believe the change will happen. Because even if the rebuild isn't going the way it's supposed to go, if you still have 20,000 people going to the United Center who want to see a good show, then the owner may say, well, no big deal.
Now, neither one of us, I'm not part of the crowd that is suggesting you don't go. If you want to go to a Bulls game, even if you're pissed off at the team, but it's a good opportunity for you and your kids to go and enjoy all that they do there, which we've said 1,000 times is very entertaining, especially for children. I'm not going to tell you not to do it.
If I didn't go to games when my team stunk when I was a child, I wouldn't be a fan of that sport because those teams stunk. The Bulls, when I grew up, stunk. The Cubs, when I grew up, stunk.
Now, by the same token, if you decide you don't want to spend your money, hard-earned money on that ticket, as a protest, that's up to you, and I would never tell you it's a bad decision for you.
So tonight they're playing Washington. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, there's been crowds as low as like 14,000 this year, and people say that there is less than that at the United Center. Brian Windhorst was on yesterday with Cap, and I thought he was some of his thoughts were pretty interesting. There's been people who think that Jerry Reinsdorf will finally make a big change, and not Boylan, not just Gar, but to the top. Like, I've told you my plan. My plan is you don't disrespect Pax. You tell him thank you. You honor him, but you say it's time for a new set of eyes. You can do other stuff for me. You just can't be my decision maker for basketball ops anymore. Your time has come to an end, and I love you. You're like a son to me, but we cannot move on with you making decisions. We moved on from Jerry Krause, and now we're going to move on from you.
And the impetus, you think, is the fact that you have thousands of empty seats.
Right. And, I mean, losing one.
Right.
But then that's the insult to the injury, you know, that now you're not making money, you're not winning games, and then it's just the total package. And Brian Windhorst was having none of it on Cap Show.
I think that John Paxson has been with the organization for, 25 years?
Yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think he's leaving.
John Paxson has won a championship with the organization. He has built multiple winners with the organization. I think John Paxson has proven that he can do it. I think John Paxson is not going anywhere, like you said. So I think if there's changes that are made, I think that, you know, the guy who has devoted all of his time and devoted his career to making the Bulls a great team is going to be a part of that. And he's got a track record where he's proven. Another thing is, if you look at the Reinsdorfs, and I mean, I don't have a chapter and verse history of the White Sox, but I think that they've pretty much supported their front office there for a long period of time.
And he's not wrong. Just no one has been able to give me an answer. And I've been saying the same thing, Waddle. Can you give me an answer and tell me why Jerry Reinsdorf is more loyal to a vice president of basketball operations who's only gone to one Eastern Conference final. But yet, when the greatest player of all time was here, he was okay with him leaving. That when Phil Jackson, one of the greatest coaches in the sport's history, when he was going at it with Jerry Krause, he waved goodbye to him. When Frank Thomas was hitting home run after home run, Jerry Reinsdorf was okay with him leaving the White Sox. Why is it that a mediocre vice president of basketball operations at that gets the loyalty, but many different players? Scottie Pippen went to Houston. Tony Kukoc went to another team. Mark Burley went to another team. Robin Ventura, Jack McDowell. I could go on and on.
I think players are different than front office guys because there's an expiration date for players, just in general. I can't answer your question, but I think you can differentiate between players and front office people because there's no expiration date physically on a front office guy's performance because of getting too old.
But it isn't like they have Pat Riley here.
No, I'm not. Pat Riley built championship teams. Absolutely.
It bothers me because so many people accept it. They're like, oh yeah, that's Jerry. And it's just accepted. Like you hear Cap in the background saying, oh, I don't think Pax is going anywhere. Well, why? Why is that accepted? Why is it okay for a guy to have an 18-year run, have five different coaches hired, only get to one conference finals, never an NBA finals, the rebuild? You're in no better place in year three than you were in year one. Your building is empty. But yeah, oh, I get it. Jerry, he's loyal.
Well, I don't know I don't know if you get it or you understand it, but you do realize, obviously, that the owner has shown a desire to maintain status quo for how long now?
Yeah, I know, and I just don't understand why that's accepted. Why is that accepted?
Yeah,
Why do people just continually say, that's okay? It's obviously not working
and hasn't been working for a few years. So I don't have a good explanation for you other than the business side of it was rolling and everything was good on that front.
Yeah.
And there's a business aspect to it. And now that business aspect has been negatively affected.
We heard Cap in the background of that interview, and he has been preaching that at the end of this season, big changes are coming. So I'm interested to see what those quote big changes are. Is it just Boylan? Is it Gar? If it's just those two, not on board.
Right.
That's not change, really.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not change at all.
It's the same thing like we've say with Nagy, you know, that if Nagy's calling the shots offensively, does a change at OC matter? So if John is calling the shots as vice president, does a change of GM matter?
No, it doesn't matter there's no change to the offensive coordinator up at Hallis Hall when the guy who is offensive coordinator by title isn't calling plays. There's no change.
If you're a Bulls fan, is this accepted by you? Do you have any hope that there can be change? 332-3776. I have some interesting numbers about the coach and where this team is at this point. And Jim Boylan said an interesting thing before tonight's game. So I want to get at that.
Jimbo had some interesting things to say.
Yeah, not the good Jimbo. That's Jimbo,
not Jimbo Cover. Cover,
not
right.
The Hall of Fame Jimbo.
Different Jimbo.
This is Jim Boylan Jimbo. We'll play that coming up next.
And now, Deep Thoughts by Jim Boylan.
He's a baller. He balls. He plays.
There he is, Jimbo.
He's a baller.
He also said their fast break is his fault now, that it's bad coaching and he's got to correct it. I think that's what he said today. We have some chatter, and it's pretty big on the Bears front.
Is it really? Is it really?
You have this, Abdallah?
I believe in terms of the headlines, it is big. But in terms of what it really means,
are big.
I'm not sure it is.
I mean, the way it affects the Bears is big, is that big changes to Bears coaching staff. Former Jaguars OC John DeFilippo is being hired as their quarterback's coach. Quarterback's coach Dave Vergone is being promoted to passing game coordinator, and Bill Lazor's just going to be hanging around. No, he's being hired as the offensive coordinator per league source. So Bill Lazor is the new fall guy, and then now Dave Vergone will be promoted after next season, and then Jaguars OC John DeFilippo as their quarterback's coach will be passing game coordinator next season. These are just the moves that will happen next season.
That's Adam Schefter's tweet. If you remember, John DeFilippo was a finalist for the Bears head coaching job. His stock a couple of years ago was very high. He did not get a head coaching job. He left Philly. Then he went to Minnesota to be their offensive coordinator. Him and Zim did not get along well. They didn't do well with Kirk Cousins. So they launched him, and that's when Stefanski took over full-time OC duties. He's now the Browns head coach.
And DeFilippo went to Jacksonville, there for a year.
And remember, DeFilippo had success with Nick Foles on the Philly staff. So they bring him into Jacksonville to be with Nick Foles as the quarterback. That goes south, and after 1 year in Jacksonville, he got fired there. So since John DeFilippo was a finalist for the Bears head coaching job, he's been fired by the Vikings and Jaguars. And now he is the quarterback's coach for our Bears.
I have a prediction. All this change, all this shuffling, Trubisky's going to get worse. Because I forget who said it, when analyst was on, that said that Trubisky's one of these guys that needs less voices in his head and not more voices in his head. This is just more stuff he's going to have to do. Now you should do this. Well, you should do this. How about this? Let's add this. Let's throw this guy in there. Let's do some more little motion things.
It does seem like a lot of cooks in the kitchen, doesn't
right?
it?
There's way too many guys.
No, there's one cook.
Yeah, they're all sous chefs.
Yeah, everyone. Not even a sous chef. Certain guys are getting, they're going to Whole Foods to get the...
Well, they could be line cooks. He's the executive chef, Nagy. But the other guys are,
Look, I think when you join an organization, and these guys could all turn out to be fantastic coaches. Everything I hear about Dave Vergone is he's hard worker, good guy, good coach. That's why Matt, he was the one guy that was a holdover from Foxy staff, right? So,
yes,
Matt must like him and think a lot of him to keep him around.
Yeah, he's been with Trubisky every year he's been in the league.
Yeah.
It's the only constant.
Right.
But now he's the passing game coordinator. Now, what does that mean? Like, is passing game coordinator, does he get to call more passing plays than the OC? Or,
OC isn't calling plays.
So then what is the passing game coordinator higher than the OC or lower?
It's Matt Nagy at the top of the food chain.
Right.
And then there's like several branches that just go out and they're all sort of even. That's what it feels like.
Are they
like
all even? Ragone is next to DeFilippo, who's also next to Lazor.
That's what it feels like. Listen, I'm not trying to make light of it, but really, when your head coach is in charge of installing the offense, installing the game plan, and he'll listen to guys, and then calling plays on Sunday, it kind of waters down the importance of the other guys, whether you're an offense. Listen, if you're a position coach, it doesn't matter that you're not calling plays. You're coaching the quarterback position, and not just one, but all of them in there. Passing game coordinator, he's probably bringing ideas to Matt, and at the end of the day, Matt has final say in terms of what pass plays are going to go in. And then on game day, Matt's calling plays.
Whose job is it to remember which hash Eddie Pinheiro likes it on for the field goal?
Right. That's a good question.
I don't know.
Is that the quarterback's coach, the OC, the passing game coordinator?
Well, that's special teams coach.
That should be a special teams
coach. Should that be a head coach?
Who does the special teams coach need to talk to tell Nagy which hash they like it on?
Maybe it was the assistant special teams coach's job, and that's why he got fired.
Look, again, I think that, at the end of the day, all of the offensive decisions, the last voice and the loudest voice is Matt's. That's why you brought him here.
Is this Matt Nagy's way of saying he needs help, but he still won't fall on the sort of, I'm not going to call plays?
Well, I think, listen, somebody said it earlier, but this is the nature of the beast in the NFL, and I think in all coaching circles, regardless of the level. You want familiarity. You've got it now. Right.
DeFilippo and him, they're under the Doug Peterson / Andy Reid tree.
Right. you've got people that you have relationships with, and it is a familiarity type of business.
So more guys who don't like to run the ball?
Well, that may be. I mean, I don't know. I think they ran the ball a little bit more down in Jacksonville this year, didn't they?
Does anyone have the title of run game coordinator?
It doesn't exist.
Why not? That is why
Zimmer fired DeFilippo, remember? Because DeFilippo wouldn't run the ball. That's the main reason why John DeFilippo got fired in Minnesota. Because they were throwing the ball too much.
We have an OC.
Yes.
We have a head coach who calls plays.
Yep.
We have a passing game coordinator. And then who's the is Castillo the O-line / run game coordinator?
Yes.
It is?
Because, I mean, I think Adam Johns or somebody reported that the previous setup was that Helfrich and Harry Hiestand were involved in taking care of the running game.
Well, I know we need to run the ball more. I'm not an idiot.
I think that's OC? What Adam.
Now?
Then?
It was Mark Helfrich.
But I thought you just told me he's the run game coordinator.
Well, I think that's what was reported. I mean, Mark Helfrich wasn't calling plays.
This is who's on first. The Bears offensive coaching staff is who's on first.
Well,
what's on second?
I think
I don't know who's on third.
Well, it doesn't matter because the head coach is in charge of everything on offense. That's really where
Matt
it ends.
Nagy's on first. Yes. Matt Nagy's on second.
And he's
Matt
on third. And third. I mean, listen, that's
zero
the reality.
And the quarterback sucks.
Let me ask you a question. How's the situation different, let's just say, in Los Angeles with Sean McVay?
I'm totally with you.
He's sort of smart at calling plays.
I'm not going to argue with that. I'm just saying, but that's the setup there. Up in Green Bay, I mean, Matt LaFleur is in charge of the offense.
Right.
You can have as many titled guys as you want, but at the end of the day,
he's in the NFC Championship game.
It's really the same, but different.
Those are all legitimate statements.
Dave in Barrington, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Sylvie, how are you, buddy?
We're good.
If the situation improves, they can lay claim to the fact that it was their impact, and then they can move on from there. So that's the reason why they will take the jobs.
I think what Matt did was he decided, listen, it wasn't going as planned. I'm assuming responsibility for it, so I'm going to make some changes. I'm going to bring in some guys that I'm comfortable with, guys that I see, you know, see things kind of similarly with, and we're all going to work together to improve what we're doing, but I'm bringing in voices that are familiar to me.
You know what that sounds like? A coup.
It sounds like,
oh, and
it
sounds like
yeah, now he's got
year.
More of his guys around him.
He's
got more of his guys around him, and when it works, he's like, look, I don't have a tight end. I need off of this guy's not helping me. I got all my guys here. We all think it's going to work. The only guy that doesn't think it's going to work is Pace, and now we need him out.
Coo.
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 No what ifs, just answers.
Coo.
Hey, I mean, they've made changes. I mean,
listen,
will it really
Ryan
be?
Pace is revered up there by George and Ted Phillips, isn't he?
This is our start.
He just built a new Hallis Hall where they're going to be hosting their own training camp.
Yes. So you think they're going to allow him to be cooed? No, I don't believe
coo!
So. I don't believe. I really don't believe one exists without the other. I think this is a combo deal.
Will we see a quarterback room change like we have with this coaching staff?
In terms of what?
Where we'll see someone...
Who?
They're going to bring in Dalton.
Andy Dalton would you have to trade for Andy and
they're
then pay him.
They're going
to have
six quarterbacks.
Do you remember the days we all sat in here and screamed about the thought of paying Andy Dalton $17 million?
Yeah.
And now you not only want to pay Andy $17 million, you
want
to give something up for him to acquire him.
Let's do this.
Not me.
It's crazy how life works.
You're right, Coach. I mean, remember those days. I don't want Alex Smith. Nobody wants Alex Smith. Now you want one-legged Alex Smith in town.
Oh, boy. That was a busy show today. So, again,
there's a lot going on.
Big changes. This is from Shefty. Big changes to the Bears coaching staff. Former Jaguars OC John DeFilippo is being hired as the quarterback's coach. Quarterback's coach Dave Ragone is being promoted to passing game coordinator. Bill Lazor is the OC, as we knew.
And then I think Matt's Uncle Phil is going to coach running backs. I think that was just announced. Matt's Uncle Phil from Philly is coming in to coach running backs.
Uncle Phil from Philly.
We're literally on to the Eagles right now.
Phil from Philly, come on down. How about that?
Helping with the coup.
Listen, you know what? We're giggling. all works and we lead the NFL in yards per game next year.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, you know what? Maybe the Red Rifle takes you from the land of despair to the high mountain.
No.
Miller's been on point. Good job, audio man.
I'm not an idiot.
Thank you to Jimbo Cover, the Hall of Famer, and Michael Wilbon, the Hall of Famer. We've got Notre Dame hoops tonight, Waddle. It's Notre Dame at Georgia Tech. And Jonathan Hood is live and local coming up next. Thanks to audio man Jeff Meller and Adam Abdallah. Cool. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday night. Oh!
Fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfort.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.